This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fihi mubarakan alayhi kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluhu was salatu was salamu ala sayyidil habibil mustafa صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In this next session of the tafsir and commentary of Surah Yasin, starting at ayah number 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning many of the signs in the heavens and some of the signs of the earth and the experiences of people, how they are in certain types of fear but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them, they call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is making a statement in this verse that it doesn't matter what sign comes to them, they will always ignore it. They've learned to ignore the signs because they are so busy and so involved with other things that they can no longer even see the signs, and the signs don't benefit them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين.
There comes to them no sign from the signs of your Lord, but they turn averse to it. These signs are both heavenly signs, calamities in their life, miracles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows them, miracles from the splitting of the moon, which was observed by everybody, to miracles like when some of these leaders became bold enough, or rather rude enough, and the shaitan spurred them enough to stand up and intend a hurt to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Jahl and a number of others, they saw in front of them something which prevented them from getting closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was a sign for them, it was a clear sign for them that they saw a fire, one saw a pit of fire, some saw something else. They would desist from getting close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they still continued to cause problems and mischief around through others and directly themselves as well. When they're told to spend, see, the working of this world is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made some people poor, or He's given some people less than others, and He's given some people more than others. And there's a wisdom in this, in the sense that some people have less now, they may have more tomorrow. There are nations that have more sometimes, and then after another 100 years, they don't have as much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns it around. There's no guarantee for anything in this world except those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises and guarantees. But the world is a transient thing in itself. If humans are born in time and then they die in time, and everything else that we look around us, it has a beginning and an end, then why wouldn't richness, why wouldn't substance, having something, prosperity, why wouldn't that have a beginning and an end as well? There's no guarantee for any human being that they will remain for this long in this world. We see people come and go, everything around us. There's absolutely no permanence for anything. Yes, just some stay longer than others. Some things just endure longer than others. So hence, for the poor, the hukum is, the ruling is, the recommendation, and their responsibility is to make sabr, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for steadfastness, and to do the best that they can. For the rich, for the wealthy, those who have something, And there's a distinction that's made about who's wealthy enough and who's not so wealthy. We have such a thing called the nisab, which the Prophet ﷺ said was equal to 200 dirhams or 20 dinars. So, that's the criteria. But those who do have are supposed to spend on those who do not have. And that's a humanity thing. It's something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the human being, that if they have compassion, they have care for somebody else, they have this feeling of altruism, they have this feeling of compassion for somebody else, then they would spend. And thus you have people with and without religion that spend. Obviously religion helps you out a lot more because you're promised rewards. So with that you spend more because you know what you're giving out is going to come back to you. You will get back. And these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this next verse 47, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Look at the rudeness, not against just a religion, but against human action, human compassion. This is what they say. And when it is said to them, spend on the needy from the provision Allah has given to you. And the disbelievers say to the believers, this is what they said. Shall we feed those whom Allah could have fed? If Allah so willed. Meaning if Allah wanted, He could have fed them Himself. Why are we being asked to feed them? You are in open error. This is completely wrong what you're telling us to do. This is explained by the Mufassirin. That when it's told to them as advice that you should spend on the poor, this is the proof of your belief. And this is speaking about the kuffar and the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Whatever you've been given, spend on the poor. They're from your own tribes, people. They're from your own background. And you share in many things. Spend on them. So these disbelievers will say to the believers, we spend on these miskeen whom Allah has made poor. There's a reason Allah has made them poor. Why should we spend on them to enrich them? You are but in clear error. You don't know what you're speaking about. You're mistaken. Meaning, you believers, you are clearly in some kind of error. You don't know what you're speaking about. Allah has kept them poor. Why do you want to spend on them? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, he relates that in Makkah there were some people who were out of this faith, some kuffar. And whenever they would be told to give sadaqah to the poor people, they would say, La wallahi ma naf'al. By Allah, they're swearing by Allah that we will not do it. So they've got belief in Allah. Clearly they believe in other things as well, but they believe in Allah. We won't do it. They swear by Allah that we will not do it. Allah keeps them poor and we have to spend on them. أَيُفْكِرُهُ اللَّهُ وَنُطْعِمُهُ نَحْنُ that we have to spend on them. And you know, it's not that they didn't necessarily want to spend on them. This is just their hatred for the believers led them to say this to the believers to make the believers feel bad and to just reject what they had said. It's not necessarily that they do not want to spend. Maybe so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause them to become miserly in that sense anyway. But then this is just to make the believers feel bad and to just not believe in anything that the believers are telling them. In other words, what they're trying to say is that if you people continue to say that Allah is the Raziq, Allah is the sustainer. Because remember, although they believed Allah created everybody, they had brought in other intermediaries for other things. And they probably had a God who was the Raziq, meaning they thought that something else provided the sustenance. So they're saying to them, to the believers, that if you people believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only sustainer, then he would have fed these fuqara. He would have given these poor people to eat. Why should you tell us to spend on them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely detested this kind of statement. And he mentions it here in the Quran that when they're told to spend, this is what they say. And then sometimes when these believers, when they would become totally, when they could not have any more response, when they would become tired of giving a response, knowing that it doesn't get them anywhere, then they would get even more angry. I mean, obviously this first statement that they've just made, it's in anger, it's stupidity, it's foolishness. Then they say, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ مَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Finally, they begin to say, when will this promise come true? You keep warning us, bring it on. When will this promise come true? If you are truthful, bring it. Let it come true. They are looking for nothing but for a single cry that will seize them when they will be quarreling. So they will not be able to make a bequest, nor will they be able to return to their household. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response is to this question. So firstly, they think it's not going to happen. They believe people will die, but they don't believe that a punishment can come, or that they will all be. So then they say, well, when is it going to come if it's going to come? Clearly, they don't want it to come. They're just thinking that it's not going to come, but this is one way to make the other people look foolish, that, okay, bring it on, and then it won't come, so that they will feel that they've overcome their opponents. So where is this punishment? Where is this day of judgment? Where is this last day that you keep speaking about if you're truthful in it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we want to bring it on, you don't need the day of judgment. All it needs to be is a single cry. And remember, this ties in with the earlier part of this surah. Because the nation that was spoken about earlier, the people of Antakya, who had also denied the messengers that were sent to them through Isa alayhi salam, and they had acted in this way where they had killed this Habib al-Najjar. If you remember, Habib al-Najjar had tried to give them nasiha, advise them and counsel them that they should follow what the messengers were saying. They had killed him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got very angry. And Jibreel alayhi salam was sent down. In fact, Jibreel alayhi salam just gave one shriek, one scream. And that just ended all of them. Just by one scream. مَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ They're just waiting for a single scream that will come to them all of a sudden. It will just hit them suddenly when they would be least expecting it. وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ They could be either in the middle of a quarrel with another person, in the middle of a dispute, in the middle of a trade, in the middle of dealing with somebody else. It could be anywhere. It will catch them unaware. That's what they're trying to say. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So they're either dealing in their markets, they're dealing with somebody else, they're in the middle of some business. And they wouldn't even know that it has overcome them. Because there will be no time after it. That will be it. Whatever they will be in the middle of doing, and this shriek is sounded, then they won't have a change of scene. That will be the end of it. They won't be allowed to change what they're doing. They will die in the state that they're in. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, he says, but this seems to indicate not an additional punishment, but about the end of this world, when the angel Israfil alayhi salam will be told to blow the trumpet. And when he will blow the trumpet, people will be in their bazaars, in their markets, in their business, in their shops, in their stores, or doing whatever they have to do in their daily chores. They may be talking to somebody or arguing with somebody or disputing with somebody. When they will be in this state, in their normal daily state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command Israfil alayhi salam to blow in the trumpet. He will blow. And this blowing will be prolonged. It will be a prolonged sound that will emit from this. And from this, nobody would be able to change their situation, their state, their standing, their position. Because as soon as they hear it, they will first cock their heads to the side to see what is this sound. And either it's going to get louder, or it's going to pierce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. May Allah protect us from this. Because when this happens, only the worst of the people will be on the earth. Only the worst of the people can be on this earth. So as long as we have iman and we're maintaining our iman so that we do not lose it. Because it's important that we have iman and that we maintain our iman and that we're concerned about it. Because iman could be lost. Iman is also not a permanent thing. It could be lost. And we do not want to be of the worst of the people that have ever lived this world. As we covered in our signs of the Day of Judgment, that the worst of the people will be those who will be at the end of time. And they are the people where among them not a single person remains to say Allah. And then Qiyamah, the trumpet will be blown. So when they will be in this, going about their daily chores, this sound will come from the heaven. And then they will bend their heads. They will try to listen. What is this sound? فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ They would not be able to make a bequest. A bequest is something you do before you die. Oh, you know, I owe so-and-so so much, or give this much to so much. Make sure you look after my youngest. Make sure you take care of your mother. Make sure you take care of your father. Make sure you look after this, you look after that. None of this kind of wasiyah. This is called wasiyah, bequest, a final parting advice. It's not possible because this, when the horn is blown, it will be kind of a continuous sound, a prolonged sound. And a person will not be able to change their state. Whatever state they're in, that's it, it's done. That's the state they will die in. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ They won't be able to go back home. They won't be able to go back home. Because the effect of it will be too fast. It says in a hadith, the day of judgment will occur. لَتَقُومَ النَّسَاعَ The day of judgment will occur, meaning this final moment will take place. وَقَدْ نَشَرَ الرَّجُلَانِ ثَوْبًا بَيْنَهُمَا فَلَا يَتَبَايِعَانِهِ وَلَا يَطْوِيَانِهِ And just to depict how this will happen, the Prophet ﷺ gives about three different depictions, three different scenarios. For example, a person will be buying cloth from another person. They've just spread the cloth to show what the seller has spread the cloth to show the other person this is what the cloth looks like. And then the trumpet will be sound. The final moment will come. They will not be able to roll this cloth up. They will not be able to make the purchase, but it will end in the middle of this transaction. Another example, another scenario is وَلَتَقُومَ النَّسَاعَ وَهُوَ يُلِيتُ حَوْضَهُ أَيْ يُصْلِحَهُ بِالطِّينَ That the final moment will occur. A person is trying to renovate or just kind of patch up his watering hole for his animals, for his own watering place. Maybe it's a bit defective. He's starting to do that and it will occur. He won't be able to move aside. He won't be able to drink from it. He won't be able to have his animals drink from it. He'll still be in the middle of fixing it and it will end. وَلَا تَقُومَ النَّسَاعَ And if you want it even faster than that, something even more specific, the last day will occur. وَقَدْ رَفَعَ أُكْلَتَهُ إِلَى فِيهِ فَلَا يَطْعَمَهَا A person would have taken a morsel of food. Somebody's going to be eating there somewhere. He would have taken a spoon towards his mouth, raised his fingers to his mouth, and he will not be able to eat it. Once that sounds, he will die in the middle of it. That's how fast it is. There's absolutely no time. Even in a hurricane, you can go and they say stand underneath a doorway, get under a table. You know, there's things you can do and hope, inshallah, pray for the best. But this is not anything like that. This is on a different magnitude, on an absolutely different level. Then there's going to be the second blowing. This is the first blowing of the trumpet. The second blowing of the trumpet is when after the humans, anybody else that's remaining, there are different narrations about this. But there will be another blowing, and by that all the other angels and everything else that had not died from the first one, they will also perish. Then there will be the third one, and that third one is when everybody will come back out. That will be for recreation or resurrection. Al-Ba'th wal-Nushur. And that's when people will come out of their graves. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that in the next verse, jumping from this point of the final day.
وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then the horn will be blown, and suddenly they will be rushing from their graves towards their Lord. So this is speaking about the third blowing. It speaks about the other two in other places, but now it fast forwards, trying to take us to the Day of Judgment. That now it will be blown again, and they will all now come out of their graves. They'll be rushing out of their graves. Yansilun. Yansilun means to pour out. Everybody will be fast. It won't be like you'll be so tired and you're just trying to get out. You will be forced out. It will have to come out. Although you will be very tired, but you'll have to come out of there. So you can't stay around. You can't stay inside. A person has to come out. Tabari says, Yansilun means really fast. Walking out really fast, just moving in great haste.
قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ.
And when they come out, it's as though they're forced to come out, and they're concerned. So now they will scream out, who is it that caused us to come out? They will say, woe to us, who has raised us from our sleeping places? This is what the Rahman, the Merciful, had promised. And the messengers had told the truth. So this will all dawn to them that this is what was being told to us. This is what was being promised. And then, as had been told about the cry, it's repeated again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats again.
إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون.
It will be no more than a single cry, and in no time they will be arraigned before us. And then,
فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون.
Then nobody will be subjected to injustice in the least. No oppression will be committed against anybody on that day. And you will not be recompensed but for what you used to do. So this is now about the hereafter. That eventually they are all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they're in the presence of the mighty Lord. And they will say, how we're in destruction now. Because they're coming out of this grave, they can't help it. They say, now we're in destruction. Who's taken us out of this grave? Ibn Kathir says that this doesn't mean that they were not punished in the grave. Because this seems to kind of indicate that they would rather stay where they were. Like, who's taken us out of here? Why would you say that if you didn't want to come out? But it's not because that there wasn't punishment in the grave. This does not deny the fact that there was punishment in the grave. There is punishment in the grave, but it was obviously much less and much lighter compared to what they feel they're going to come towards. Because they know they're in the grave. They know that there's supposed to be hereafter when the punishment has come in the grave. That will give them all the belief that they wanted. You know, in this world you could deny the hereafter. But once you get into the grave and you start seeing the punishment, then it convinces you that, look, if this is what it was, and those people who used to believe in that, they were talking about punishment in the grave, then that means there's going to be further punishment later on. Now the belief will come to them. The haqiqah is there already now. They have become believers now, in a sense. Because there can't be any kufr in the grave. It's all belief. After a person is about to die, it's all belief. There is no kufr afterwards, in the sense that you can't deny. There's no escape afterwards. So that's why what they found in their grave would be more lenient compared to, and that's why they are scared now. So where it mentions in this verse, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, this is what the Rahman had promised and the messengers had told the truth. Who is saying this? Either the angels will tell them that, when they will be in bewilderment, the angels will tell them that, or the believers will say, look, remember, we used to tell you, we used to talk to you. And thus, when Israfil alayhi salam, again this is depicted, Israfil alayhi salam will blow this horn once, صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً, and then this will cause them out. They will be in front of us. Sawi says that this shriek of Israfil will not, the second shriek, this is talking about again, because it mentioned that, and the horn will be blown and suddenly they will be rushing from their graves towards their Lord. They will say, woe to us, who has raised us from our sleeping place? This is what the Rahman had promised and the messenger told the truth. It will be no more than a single cry, and in no time they will be arraigned before us. So this seems like another cry afterwards, after the horn is blown, the trumpet is blasted. And thus, what Sawi, another Mufassir, he says that this is actually referring to Israfil will make an announcement. This is what he will say. أَيَّتُهَا الْعِظَامُ النَّخِرَةُ, O worn-out bones in the graves. The worn-out bones, the decomposed bones. وَالْأَوْصَالَ الْمُتَقَطِّعَةُ وَالْأَجْزَاءَ الْمُتَفَرِّقَةُ وَالشُّعُورَ الْمُتَمَزِّقَةُ, the hair which is all, the hair of the human being that's all over the place, pieces that are scattered all around at a molecular level, everything has been decomposed. You know, imagine people from the earlier generations, I mean, totally decomposed, mixed in with the earth. He will call out and say, all of you decomposed bodies, you split up pieces, disintegrated pieces, scattered bits, all come together. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُنَّ أَن تَجْتَمِعْنَ لِفَصْلِ الْقَضَاءِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you all of you pieces and hair and bits, Allah is ordering all of you to come together and to reconstruct. ثُمَّ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مَجْمُعُونَ فِي مَوْقِفِ الْحِسَابِ, and then he will blow the trumpet, and that, so that is the blowing of the trumpet for that resurrection. He will make this announcement first, call out to these pieces, they will come together, he will blow the trumpet, and then the life will be given back to them. And then they will come out of their graves. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجَزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, and thus, it's declared that there will be no oppression on this day. Meaning, whatever you have done, you'll get for what you've done. And what you haven't done, what the wrongs that you've done, you will be punished for that. There will be no oppression, you won't be given more punishment than what you have done. But the punishment, even for the smallest thing, is severe indeed. So nobody is going to, you know, like what happens in this world sometimes, is that according to the law, you have to, some crime has been committed, it's in the books, it's been reported, and thus somebody's going to have to be framed for it. If you know who the person is and they want to get them out sometimes, what they do is they frame an innocent person. It happens a lot of the time. Somebody's been murdered. You can't deny that fact. Somebody's been murdered. It's very difficult to hide a murder. There are people behind him, behind the murdered person, that want justice. So now the person who is the murderer, if he or she has to be concealed, they have to frame somebody else. It happens in this world. Evidence is doctored. Proofs are made up and fabricated. And thus somebody else goes to prison despite their denial, because all criminals like to deny. So it's a normal thing, so it doesn't seem out of place. But in the hereafter, Allah is making it very clear. لَا يُحَمَّلُ الْإِنسَانُ وِزْرَ غَيْرِهِ, nobody's going to be forced to carry the burden of somebody else. Somebody else sinned, you will not be carrying their sin. Yes, if you were the cause of their sin, you will be. But not if you had nothing to do with it. There will be no injustice. I like this guy, okay, you know, throw it over to the other person. I don't like this guy, you know, let's give him everybody else's sin. Unless there's a reason for it. Meaning, unless you have aggressed against somebody else. So that is the state of the disbelievers. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everywhere in the Quran, whenever He speaks about disbelievers, whenever He speaks about punishment, He doesn't just create a great fright and major terror and then leave it at that. and leave people reading, He always gives them a way out. This is the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, He has anger and He has the wrath and He's going to avenge. But at the end of the day, He loves His humans. He loves His creation. And He wants them to do right. So whenever there's punishment mentioned, there'll always be good things mentioned afterwards. Always. Just so that people whose hearts have softened because of the fright that they have received from this, inshallah, this softness will turn and they will want the hope for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now begins to speak about the bounties of paradise. And just as evil as hell was, and its description and the terrors of the last day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about the beauties, the contrasting beauties of paradise and the bliss of Jannah. And thus, Inna ashab al jannati al yawma fi shughlin fakihun hum wa azwajuhum fi dhilalin 'ala al ara'iki muttaki'un lahum fiha fakihatun wa lahum ma yad'un salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim. The people of the paradise are engaged today in their activities. The people of paradise today are totally engrossed in their activities, happily enjoying them. They and their spouses are in pleasant shades, reclining on couches. For them there are fruits, and for them there is whatever they ask for. Salam, peace be upon you, is the word they receive from the merciful Lord. That is the beauty of paradise. You look in these tourist guides, what they will show you is normally a relaxing, a nice beach. People relaxing. You know, it's always about the sun, relaxation. It's not about more work. The ultimate relaxation. Because the problem is that you go out for 2 weeks to go and relax somewhere. Have a nice holiday. It's not a solution all the time. You come back and you've got 200 emails now to respond to. You've got 10 more things to deal with. So you're back to square one. It helps a bit, but then it's back to square one. Paradise is different. There is no activity. The activity is the pleasure. That is the activity. And look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. Looking at the shughl of this world. Shughl means to be busy in something, to be engrossed. That's the word for this life, isn't it? Especially nowadays, that's what we feel. I don't know, every generation thinks that they're busier than the previous generation for some reason. I wonder what's going to happen to our children. Even to us, because while we're still alive, we're going to be that much busier. Because we move on in this world. I went to another country recently, and there was hardly any traffic on the streets, and hardly any population. So I'm thinking, subhanAllah, mashallah, you guys are a lot more less busy than we are. And they're all shaking their heads at me. It was in a bayan. I was saying, mashallah, you people seem to be less busy. You know, you're not in London, you're in another city, totally uninspiring city. I don't want to mention the name, it's somewhere in Europe. But totally uninspiring. There's hardly any traffic on the road. You just, mashallah, cruise along. In London, it's a hassle to drive. And I'm saying, you guys aren't busy. You know, mashallah, you've got a lot of time. You can do a lot of work, you know, a lot of this. And they're thinking I'm crazy. Because they're looking at me and they're shaking their heads. Everybody is busy. It's just the nature of the world today. Except the few that have managed to escape that. And somehow just focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very difficult. So with this, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it is, it's absolutely beautiful. Inna ashab al jannati al yawma fi shughlin faakihun. That the people of paradise are occupied. What are they occupied with? Faakihun. They are enjoying themselves. Happily enjoying themselves. Fakihun, the word itself. Fakiha means fruits. And normally you don't eat fruit for your main meal. You do the meal, then you have the fruits. It's afterwards. It's just the enjoyment aspect. It just tells you. It's very difficult for this to be even explained in English. And it's a sad fact that we don't know Arabic. Because Muslims, wherever they went before, they taught Arabic. They learned Arabic. You know, whether it was in Russia or whether it was in Kazakhstan, you know, wherever, Uzbekistan. I mean, Bukhari came from there. And his book is in Arabic. Samarkandi's book is in Arabic. Ghazali's book is in Arabic. And he was Persian. Abu Hanifa was Persian, rahimahullah. And it's all in Arabic. So some of our great, most of our greatest scholars are from those areas. It's all in Arabic though. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, that those people in paradise on that day, when the day to giving will, they will all be busy in the pleasures, in the bounties of paradise. And they will have absolutely no conscience about anybody in the hellfire. They won't be caring about anybody. They will be totally enjoying themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their spouses. This could be the hurul een. This could be their worldly spouses, which will be made even more beautiful and more pleasurable for them, both for the men and women. They'll be eating and drinking. And they will be listening to beautiful sounds, whatever that beautiful music of paradise is. Totally halal, beautiful music that does not, you know, that doesn't bring the evil with it nowadays. This will be beautiful, just like this beautiful pure wine in paradise, however that is. Abu Hayyan says, the fact is that the occupation there is going to be pleasure. Your occupation is pleasure. Imagine finding a job like that. The only pleasurable job you can find now will be haram. Right? I remember some brother, I said, what do you do? He says, I go and play computer games. What do you mean? He says, yeah, we test them out. So we get all these games and we have to write reviews. So we just play the computer games. But I mean, you know, you go around telling people, what's your job, brother? Playing computer games. Eventually, you'd probably get tired of that, wouldn't you? There has to be some substance in life. SubhanAllah, people have tried to make paradise in this world. One of the former leaders of Persia, before it was called Iran, Persia, he had a harem of concubines. He didn't come out of it for several years. He didn't come out of it for several years. What is he trying to do? Jannah? I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. You know, various women from around the world. He didn't come out of it for several years. This was before the one called Abbas, I think his name was. Before he brought things back to. There was one of them just totally. And there's not just one. There's others who've done these kind of things. Allah protect us. Because when people get wealthy, then they want to make this place Jannah. That's a normal thing. The more you have, the more Jannah you try to make this place. Because you can buy things. So you start making it a Jannah. They will not be told about the people in the hellfire. There will be nothing told to them that will upset them. So they are totally protected in this pleasure. They don't have to come back after it and it's going to end. It's just going to get better and better. They will be in these shades. Ara'ik. Fi zilalin. Zilal. Shade. It's not too hot. We have to retreat in the afternoon. There's always shade. See, nothing's perfect in this world, is it? Nothing's perfect. You want pomegranates, which is a fruit of paradise as well. You have to peel it. You have to take them out. There's an effort behind it. And then you eat it. In everything, it's like that. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ. It'll be relaxed, reclining, resting on special platforms, daises, some kind of special seating, just decorated in some of the best designs that you could ever think of. I don't know if it's permissible to go and see all of these really elaborate palaces just to remind you of paradise. I don't know if it's permissible to do that. Because if we're not that wealthy, you're not going to have these kind of things. But if you see how these things are done, it might remind you of paradise. But I don't know if it's permissible to go and see it for that reason. You know, like the Dolmabahçe Palace in Istanbul, for example, or some of these other places. I don't know. Wallahu a'lam. لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ In Jannah, for them will be all different types of fruits. And fakiha, all different types of fruits that, you know, you could benefit from in this way. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ In it will be anything they call for. In it will be anything they wish for, that they desire. مَا يَدَّعُونَ Anything they demand, they will get it. May Allah make us worthy of paradise. That's why Allah says, وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ In it will be those things that your nafs, your soul desires, and your eyes find beautiful. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَبِّ الرَّحِيمٍ And at the end, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَبِّ الرَّحِيمٍ The main thing is that you can have all the pleasure that you want. But if you've got this feeling which will always be there at the back of your head that I could be taken out of this, then that spoils all the pleasure. But when you're then, when you're told, سَلَامٌ سَلَامٌ Peace, peace, you're reassured. It's not that you're just in, when you come in, you'll be told this. سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَبِّ الرَّحِيمٍ When you're told this, it gives you extra feeling of security, an extra pleasure. That's why salam, peace be upon you, is the word that they receive from the merciful Lord. Salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim, from the merciful Lord. Here it's used, the word rahim is used. Rahim is used here. And they say rahim is because rahim, rahman is more general in the sense that it encompasses compassion towards disbelieving people and believing people. Because in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has compassion towards disbelieving people as well in the sense that He provides for them as well. But rahim is specifically used for believers, and that is going to be in the hereafter because the disbelievers will not have compassion. So salamun qawla min rabbir rahim is mentioned here, not rahman. And thus, they will look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show Himself. And that will be a greater pleasure than anything that they've been experiencing until now. He will look at them and they will look at Him. And then when that happens, they will be totally occupied in looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will, all of these beautiful things that we just described, they won't even turn around to them anymore. When Allah manifests, it won't be a permanent thing, but when He does, people will start to look at Him and they will become totally absorbed. He's the creator of all of these things. And then He will veil Himself again. But the nur and His barakah, the blessing of that sight, will remain in their homes or in their places, and they will be better off than they were before. And thus, as we read earlier, as we discussed earlier, they will come back more beautiful. Each spouse will say to the other, hey, you're more beautiful. Now, with this short description of paradise, because the main function of this surah is to warn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back, that after giving this peek into paradise and its pleasures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَامْتَازُوا الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ وَامْتَازُوا الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ اصْلَوْهَا الْيَوْمَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَى أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَى أَعْيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّى يُبْصِرُونَ And continues with that. What this means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after talking about paradise in this beautiful way, he says, "And it is said to the infidels, become apart from the believers today. Separate yourself. You guys shouldn't be here. You guys move out. So separate yourself from the believers today, O guilty ones. Did I not direct you, O children of Adam, that you must not worship the shaitan, because he is an open enemy for you, and that you must worship me because this is the straight path? Had he has misguided many people from among you, many people from among you, so did you not have any sense? Now this is the Jahannam of which you were constantly warned. Enter it today, because you have been persistently denying the truth. Today we will set a seal on their mouths, and their hands will speak to us, and their legs will bear witness about what they used to do. If we so will, we would wipe out their eyes right here in this world, and they would be racing towards the way, but how would they see? And if we so will, we could disfigure them at their places, and they would not be able to move, nor would they return." وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمِ Imtiaz means to distinguish. Today, you separate yourself. Now think about it. You're in a state where you're not sure if you're successful or not. So you try to stick to the people who are definitely successful. And you're hoping that you can just slip through. And then it's made, no, you guys, you shouldn't be here. Separate yourself. Those who have not succeeded, separate yourself. Those who don't have a ticket, we're going to come and check it right now. The inspector comes on the bus. Put up your tickets. Look at the feeling of dread. But then there's going to be a smooth criminal in there somewhere who's done it all the time. He knows how to do it. Hide, I don't know, pull somebody else. You know, there's some swindle people. But on that day, none of that will work. It doesn't matter if you're a con man or whatever you may be. It doesn't matter what you are. When this announcement will be made, imagine the dread and the terror that will come upon the people. And that's why, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ O criminals, you become separate today. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ Did we not make it, did we not direct you? Did we not make a covenant with you? Did we not impress upon you that you should not worship the shaitan? You know this when it says separate. Separate from my believers. So it's this feeling that they are loved by Allah and we're not loved by Allah. You know, subhanAllah, the thing is this, that a person is told, you have to be here. We still love you, but you have to be here. That's a lot more softer than the feeling that we're not even loved. Because ayyuhal mujrimun, very clearly, ayyuhal mujrimun, mujrim, the person who has done the wrong. So now saying, O Bani Adam, O children of Adam, didn't we impress upon you and counsel you and remind you that you should not worship the shaitan in all of these things that has called you and caused you to disobey me? He's been, innahu lakum aduwwum mubeen, he's your clear enemy. And you know this from your history because you know what people of the past have done. وَنِعْبُدُونِي And that you worship me, I've told you to worship me, to declare my oneness, to be obedient to me, to worship me. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ This was the clear way, this was the straight path. The sahih deen, meaning the correct religion and the rightful truth. وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا He has misguided lots of people before you. He has misguided many people before you. So how were you taken into his deception if that was the case? أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ Did you not have an intellect? Didn't you use your intellect? Didn't you reason that this is what shaitan will do to you? هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ So now this is the Jahannam which you used to be warned about. Which you used to be warned about, this is the Jahannam for you now. Now this is going to be said to them when they are right at the edge of Jahannam. They're not in it yet, but they're right at the edge and they can hear the roars and everything. And then this is rubbed into them, that this is the Jahannam for you. Because of the kufr that you had in this world, because of the way you used to disrespect and humiliate others. Dhuq innaka antal azizul kareem. As mentioned in another place now, taste this. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim. Now what will happen is that there will be some people who will think they're smart on that day. Because it seems like, although there's going to be many witnesses, when the initial witnesses come by, they will try to deny it. Eventually, they will confess, but initially they will deny from the first witness until they start seeing it pile up. Right? So what will happen is, Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, one of the earliest mufassirin, whose book still survives, he relates from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu an. He says that, يُدْعَى الْكَافِرُ وَالْمُنَافِقُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. A kafir, a disbeliever, and a hypocrite will be called on the Day of Judgment for hisab, for accounting, reckoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will present in front of him his actions, that these are what you did. He will deny them. It's just he presents, this is what you did, this is what you did. He'll deny them. I didn't do this. He'll say, أي رب وعزتك لقد كتب علي هذا الملك ما لم أعمل. Some of the worldly tendencies, you know, some of the worldly arguments. He'll say, Oh Lord, by your might, this angel has written against me something I haven't done. This angel is writing something against me that I haven't done. So the angel will say, Subhanallah, أما عملت كذا في يوم كذا. Didn't you do this on that day? In that place? He'll say, لا وعزتك أي وربي ما عملته. No, by your might, O Allah, I didn't do any of this. Now, he said what he had to say. When he does that, his mouth will be sealed. Right? The mouth will be sealed. وتكلمت أعضاؤه. What will begin to speak? His limbs. Who was he defending until now? His limbs. He's defending his body because the punishment is going to be on his body. He's defending his body, mouth is sealed, the limbs begin to speak. That's why Allah says, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. We'll put a seal on their mouth. And so the Prophet ﷺ read this. Then in the hadith it says, the person will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, wouldn't you protect me from oppression today? You will get some of these smart people, the so-called smart people in the hereafter. They'll say, won't you protect me and safeguard me from oppression? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of course I will. So he'll say, I'm not going to agree with any witness against me except from myself. I don't care anybody says anything. I'm not going to agree to anything except myself. Fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You yourself will be sufficient witness against yourself. This is not all a joke. وَبِالْكِرَامِ الْكَاتِبِينَ شُهُودًا. And there's the noble writers, they are witnesses against you. And then his mouth will be sealed. And then his limbs will be addressed and say, إِنْتِقِي. Speak. فَتَنْتِكُ بِعَمَالِهِ. The limbs will begin to pour out every single deed that they did with the hands. He did this with my finger. He did this with my hand, with the feet. The feet will say, he did this with me, the eyes and all the limbs. And then he'll be left to hear that. His limbs speaking, his mouth not being able to say. And he will be saying, بُعْدًا لَكُنَّ وَسُحْكًا فَعَنْ كُنَّ كُنْتُ أُنَاضِلْ. Woe be upon you, destruction be upon you. I was trying to defend you and you're taking us to destruction. May Allah protect us. May Allah preserve our limbs, our hands from touching, our eyes from looking, our ears from listening, our feet from advancing. May Allah protect our whole body, put nur before us, behind us, within us, so we're protected from this. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. Then finally, to the next verse, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his power in this world. He said, if we willed, we could just cover their eyes. We could take away their sight in this world. Today, we could wipe out their eyes right here in this world, and they would be racing towards the way, but they would not be able to see. And if we so will, we could disfigure them. We'll cover this in a bit more detail, inshallah, in our next, which will be the final, inshallah, the final session of this, which will be finishing the surah, inshallah, next time. But just to finish this off, what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says is that if we wanted, because of these kind of sins that they commit in the world. Now, coming back to this world, these statements that they make, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He had wanted, He could have made them rich. He could have given them food. Why do we have to give them? If He wanted, we could make them blind in this world. They can't see anything then. Or if He wanted, we could make them blind of the truth completely. Right now, He's trying to say from here that you still got an opening. You are blind of the truth. You're not seeing, and that's why you're saying these things. But you can still change. But if we wanted, we could make you completely blind for permanently. Blind from the truth. So you will never see the truth. And that's why you will definitely go to these. That's why there are certain actions. Which if a person does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does seal the heart. But that's because of the actions that the person has committed. There's nobody that comes into this world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I put a seal on this guy's heart. He's never going to become good. Because that would apparently not be fair in the worldly sense of things. A person is created neutral, but when we commit certain sins, for example, they say drinking alcohol prevents a person from saying the kalima at the deathbed. Blasphemy, saying these weird things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you've got belief in your heart, Allah gets very angry. Another thing, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever misses three jumu'ahs consecutively, thinking light of them. So there are these conditions. Because if a person misses Jumu'ah because he wasn't by a masjid, because he works out in the fields, no, this is taking it lightly. I don't really need to go Jumu'ah. So he misses it because of a meeting. He doesn't schedule his meetings properly or whatever the case is. Takes it lightly. It doesn't say a person will become kafir, but it says a person's heart will be sealed. And a person's heart sealed, what happens? No tawfiq comes in. So eventually it's going to lead to kufr anyway. And that's the danger of these things. May Allah protect us from such actions. The sins that we do, may Allah give us tawfiq to seek forgiveness and prevent us from any of these sins, especially those sins which destroy a person. And so the person will never see the truth like that. This is warning to the Quraysh, you still got a chance, you still got a chance. But if you carry on like this, your hearts will be sealed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take ibrah from this surah, to recite it every day. To recite it every day and gain the barakah of it. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma anta salam, minka salam, tabarak ya dal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin. Jazallahu anna muhammada ma huwa ahlu. Allahumma fillana warhamna wa aafina wa ahdina wa rizukna. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdi bina wa ja'alna hudatan liman ihtada. Oh Allah, safeguard us from the hellfire. Oh Allah, safeguard us from all of those actions that take people to the hellfire. Oh Allah, those sins that we've committed in the past that have really angered you. Oh Allah, protect us and forgive us. Oh Allah, wipe those sins clean. Oh Allah, all those sins that we remember that we do not remember, the major ones, the minor ones, those we did absent-mindedly, those we did purposely. Oh Allah, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Oh Allah, being the most merciful one, grant us your mercy and forgive us from these sins. Oh Allah, grant us a place in Jannatul Firdaus and make it easy for us. Make it easy for us in this world to work towards Jannatul Firdaus and to do the actions of the people of paradise. And to call other people towards that and give us success in our calling others and inviting others. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.